apologize for that. We're just about to get started. We're just making sure we got the roaming mic when we do a little Q&A later. Are we good? We're probably good. Okay, there it is. Good. Hi, everybody, and welcome. We'll get started. So I made to introduce us as the instance, and you can all clap again here in a second. I made this cool little video thing, okay? So I just want you to watch it, and hopefully you like it, all right? So here it is up on the screen. Welcome to the instance, everybody. Woo!
That was amazing.
No expense spared. No, lots of expense spared out there. That was beautiful.
That was epic. Some other cool stuff. I got some other cool things coming, but those will come later. Thank you all for being here. This is the first, it's kind of weird to say this because I don't know why we've never done it before, but this is the first live episode of the instance we've ever done at Nerdtacular in any of the years that we've been here doing this. And I don't know what took us so long, but boy, oh boy, did we bring some interesting people in to do it for the first time. We'll get to that in a second. I'm Scott Johnson. Sitting on my far end over there, on the very end, is Patrick Beja. Welcome him to the show.
Hey!
The newest addition to the podcast.
Okay.
Where's your scarf?
I do have the scarf.
Oh, good. He's always got one. What are you talking about?
I've got to put it on.
Next to him, you have Mark the Terpster Turpin.
Yay.
Woo. I don't have a scarf, so...
I could lend one to you.
Okay, well, that's great. Let's not do that, then.
Next to him, we have the three-time returning champion of all things music and sound at Blizzard, the one, the only, Russell Brower. Woo! We love Russell. And to my great pleasure, I am so happy that he said yes when we asked him to come. The head of all things creative at Blizzard, the stuff you play, every time you hear Thrall say something, you're hearing that guy, not only his voice, but you're hearing his vision, Chris Metzen, everybody. And then, like it's 2009 all over again, Randy Deluxe.
Woo! And Scott, we did do a live episode of The Instance at Nerdtacular in 2009 at your house.
Oh, yeah, that's true, in the backyard.
Yep.
On the porch. Totally forgot about that. Not
the
hot tub. No, that was a different episode. Anyway, we're really happy to be here. I think a lot of us in this room are united by our shared love of a lot of the things Blizzard does. For a lot of people, the podcasting world that I inhabit, your gateway drug was The Instance. Raise your hand if that seems true for you. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit weird because when the show got started, it was simply because I didn't like any of the shows that were on. And sorry if anyone's here who has one of those. But at the time, I thought, well, then I'll make my own. And me and Andrew Konietzky started a show, and he moved on at one point, asked Randy to join me. He came on. And before you knew it, the show had kind of its own steam, and it was doing its own thing. And here we are today, still the most downloads we get, and I'm so happy that it brings so many people in that gate and gets them sort of familiar with all the other stuff we're doing. So, very proud of the show and where it's been. We've never dipped in numbers. We've always been higher. Even the game can't say that sometimes.
No.
Shots
I'm just
fired,
saying.
Scott.
Hey, look, if you had to pay us $15 a month for the show, you'd be dropping off too.
Wow. Fair.
But as much as I've loved every single era, and I have, I absolutely love where we're at today too. I love Terpster and Dills and Patrick, and we're really sad to not have Dills with us. He is the one missing chair today. So Dills, if you're listening, we miss you, and hopefully we'll do well in your stead. But we love the show. We're happy to be here. We're going to talk about some cool stuff. Before we do that though, I have a message for Chris Metzen. It came in the form of some audio. So, Brandon, crank this one up. If it's a little quiet, I'm not sure it will be, but you might be familiar with this character, right? It's a message from Illidan Stormrage. Here you go.
Hello, nerds. I am Illidan Stormrage. As you are well aware, The man who helped create me sits in your midst today. I have a message for Chris Metzen. You are not prepared! Have a lovely Nerdtacular.
All right, so I have to give big thanks to Liam O'Brien, the voice of Illidan Stormrage, who put that together for us. He's a good man. I think he's listening live, too. He's a big fan of the network, and we love having Liam around. So, this is a tricky thing to start off with because of all the great brains we have sitting at this table. So let's just start with the new guy. Chris, I wanted to talk about where you're at now compared to where you were in that photo with the big CRT monitor. Because what I saw then was a guy who was like early, these are the early days, and it was rough and tumble and rock and roll racing and all that business, right? Things were about to get nuts.
Yes. That kid, didn't he look happy?
Yeah.
Unconcerned, unencumbered. Where was I then? I must have been 22. I've been at Blizzard for 22 years. And we had no idea, right? We had such a good team. I was like the 15th employee. And it was a frat house. We just ran around with Nerf guns and, you know, just, you know, bad mom jokes and, you know, just constant, you know, Samurai Showdown 2 was like the big game. We played every day at lunch. And we just wanted to build games, I think, primarily for each other. You know, you kind of, you know, a lot of times, you know, creative folks, and you start kind of, whatever your flavor is, right? You kind of start doing what you're doing for yourself, to express something for yourself. And a lot of times the shape your creativity takes is informed by the people closest to you, you know, that are like-minded and share the passions that you share. And so early on at Blizzard, we really built games just to kind of amuse each other. Like, hey, do you think this is cool? Yeah, it's really fun. Or like, yeah, that totally sucks. You got to stop.
How often did that happen?
Oh, every day. Every day. Still,
isn't
still,
that part?
Still that's, happens.
That's part of the. I'm glad you brought that up, because the culture strikes me as a culture of not being afraid to say we're on the wrong path.
Totally.
There are specific things we could bring up about that. We don't have to get into those, but I'll use Titan as an example. Obviously, blood, sweat, tears, and money were put into a big project. And while a lot of great tech can still be used and things can still show up later in other things, to see you guys have to make that decision, that just reminded me what one of the tenets of Blizzard that is not found in most other development houses.
You know, I think we have, it's one of our most core values, right? Like, it's got to be fun, it's got to be awesome. And you guys are gamers, you know, like, you know when it's not, you know when it's broke, you know when it's not baked enough. And we do too, you know, like we're fundamentally gamers first, and you know, that one and you know, a few other projects over the years just weren't up to snuff, and there's some at some point there's a go no go moment where we have to take a very serious audit of where we're at, and sometimes you've got to make the hard call, and sometimes you have to lay things down that you are very, very passionate about, that you spend a lot of time on. But it's better than putting out something that you know betrays your values, and it's better than putting out something that you know will do harm, you know, ultimately, to, I think, our players, you know, our player base, I think expect a lot out of us, and we expect a lot out of ourselves, and the idea of knowingly compromising that is untenable. It's like the cardinal sin. I'd rather us fall on our face and not put something that isn't baked enough out than push something for purely business purposes.
We like that, don't we?
It's good. It meant we got you as Thrall rather than Clancy Brown. So for Lord of the Clans.
Yeah, yeah. Same kind
so
of
we got
thing.
We got a better Thrall voice, I think.
We got a much better Thrall voice.
I think so. He's more orky.
He is much more orky. Clancy Brown, come on. Just kidding. He's a delightful man, and you guys will see.
He's showing up in the movie as well, isn't he?
He is playing Blackhand in the film.
Wow.
And it's pretty rad. So I work with Clancy on the adventure game, and it's got to be, you know, 16 years ago
about
now.
Right.
Long time. And we spent a couple weeks in a recording studio in Torrance, and kind of got to know him a little bit, as much as you can, in a recording studio. And we talked about Highlander, and we talked about, you know, all the stuff that I was geeked out on that I'd seen him do. And then we wrapped it up, and I loved his voice, and he seemed to have a good time. He'd never done a video game before, and then, of course, the game doesn't come out. So fast forward, 17 years, I went up to the set in Vancouver when they were shooting the film, and just walking around, looking at the sets, and it was just amazing. It was overwhelming. And boom, 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 there's Clancy Brown. I'm like, well, hey, Clancy. And I went to say, hey, sir, my name's Chris. We worked together a long time ago. And before I can get out of my mouth, he just grabbed me and went, you kid. I can't believe you hired me for this. I thought I was the death of Warcraft products. I'm like, oh, man. No, not kind of.
I like to imagine it. A bit like Predator. He's like, you got me pushing too many pencils.
Too many pencils, yeah. Wow. What happened to you, Dylan?
That's an awesome story. Let's just for a second talk about... I may have something coming up here in a minute, movie-related. Not saying what it is. I'm saying maybe we have a sneak preview of something. I got authorization. Just relax yourselves. Really? It's fine. They're looking at me like, what?
Dude, if you get me in trouble...
I promise this won't be on you, but one of the things Russell told me once, not long ago, was that you are...
There we go.
It wasn't him either.
It was the expansion, wasn't it? I remember, yeah.
Why is my chest tightening right now?
We talked all about the expansion yesterday.
He says that Chris Metzen is his muse. He told me that before. Mm. And I'm very curious about that creative interaction when it comes to a project.
Try to imagine yeah. Chris Metzen.
It's that muse. Bit in Titanic with, painting, drawing like French girls.
So, I mean, the way it works,
my heart will go on.
Is you guys are creating something, and Russell comes in and says, I need to make Pandaria, as an example, a place with emotion and feeling and power. It's one of the great expansions, in my opinion, when it comes to Sound and Music. It's incredible. Still to this day, maybe the best work they've done. And I'm just curious how the Muse system works. How do you get it? How does Chris give you what you need to then go to you and your composers and do it?
Yeah, Russ, how does that work?
So, the ingredients are myself, Chris Metzen, Houston Steakhouse, maybe some beverages. And so in the case of Pandaria, and this happens often, or pretty much with every major new project or expansion, there's a point where I go up to Chris, sometimes it's just a hallway meeting, and I go, Chris, we're about to start the music or the sound, something, usually it's the music, on this new thing. Can you tell me, I've read all the treatments and the bullet points and the backstories and everything from our amazing World of Warcraft team, but can you boil it down? Where's the heart and soul? What can I hang my hat on musically for this thing? So in the case of Pandaria, I asked him that question, and this was a hallway meeting. And he said something to the effect of, the artists, the team have done an incredible job of taking this Pandaria idea and the Pandaren race and give them a whole vocabulary of architecture and symbology and a language and everything. And it's beautiful. And the music should reflect that. However, I still think the music is a way to remind us that we're still in Azeroth. And that's all I needed. That was worth more than, volumes I got elsewhere.
I said that?
You said that.
It was the beverages.
Yes.
And so that, the walk in that line, so that it was, we used traditional Chinese instruments, but it was all overlaid over kind of a classical Western film score style that you're all familiar with. So that's the sound of Pandaria to me.
Well, you guys are close to an announcement next week. We're not asking them what that is, everybody. We're not going to find out what this new expansion is. We'll find out soon enough. Next week, we find out.
Can
Gamescom.
We ask, though, Russell, are there any new instruments we haven't heard before? I don't know if you can say that or not. Like, because kazoos have been used, but I don't know if there's anything else.
No, we've done kazoos. We've done, nickel harpa, accordions, so we're all in serious trouble and going to hell. I can tell you two things about the expansion. You ready?
Yep.
There will be music.
Woo! Yeah.
And anything Terpster has pontificated on is dead wrong.
All right. Probably.
But, you know, talking about new instruments, have you ever thought of using Terpster as an instrument?
No.
Because he's quite musical.
No. I'd be okay with that. I'd be fine.
And we just need to stop tape and back up. We don't even need to entertain that.
All right, so since we can't really learn anything about the new expansion until we see it, and I know we're all very excited about it, it's been an interesting current expansion. Warlords came out to much fanfare, much excitement, and I immediately fell in love with it, and I love where the story was going, and I knew where other stuff was going. And then there was a general kind of player-based sense that things slowed somewhere in the middle. And my opinion, or my theory, has been that they're changing the way and the rapidity of how quickly they put these games out. And the fact that we're getting this announcement at Gamescom and not at BlizzCon, I think is maybe supports my theory there. I know you guys can't say much, but you've always talked in the past, you and the devs, about wanting to do more content more frequently. Like, part of the problem with being Blizzard is you, like he said, you want to polish everything till it's a fine sheen. You don't want anything to go out to taff baked. All those kinds of principles still hold, but still a desire to get the machine to a place where it can go quicker. We can get more sooner. Am I on the right track that's still a desire? It was talked about a lot in the past. It seems like is it still a goal?
It's absolutely still a goal. I mean, it's kind of always been, you know, one of the biggest conversation points we've had over the years is just how do we turn over, you know, product quicker so that we don't have people waiting forever and ultimately over frustrated, you know. So it's something we think about all the time, and we're working on all the time, how that, if the pointed question was how does that, you know, veer back around to what maybe talked about next week. It is next week, yes.
Yes.
So. Sixth,
yeah. I hear there's something going on.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. You know, sure, we want to ultimately get things out quicker. You know, so ultimately it's like a big mixing board. There's all sorts of, you know, you pull this lever and this lever goes up, and it's a complex process of building these giant products. And, you know, you move too fast on this front, and there's cause and effect on this front. We certainly, you know, we don't want to break it as much as it might appear that, you know, that could occur from time to time, and people are pissed off about the balance here and there. You know, we're generally super thoughtful about every system, and, you know, because we're playing it. You know, we're literally playing it all the time, and, you know, we're doing our best to ultimately just get the community what it wants, you know, and keep people engaged. That's the whole magic sauce to it all. I was talking to somebody last night, and this thought just kind of, it keeps coming back around. When the first, you know, everyone calls it vanilla, I hate that, because it suggests that it is bland, and it is not.
And brown box isn't all that much better.
Brown box seems like a brown bag. It's common. Everything just sounds common.
Classic WoW.
Classics are.
Gold WoW.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Platinum WoW. Yeah. You know, whatever. You know, I'm sure you guys have heard this a million times. We had no idea, you know, what this product would do, what it would come out, this scale that it would reach, the number of people that were, you know, playing concurrently at its height. We had no idea. And in so many ways, there's still not, you know, 10 years on, there's no, you know, owner's manual for something like this that came out and made such a big splash. And we're students as well. You know, we're constantly watching, you know, how it's doing, how's the engagement. How's everybody kind of flowing with the content that we want to make, and you know, in so many ways, it's still as true as it was when we started. That we're still kind of trying to find the right, you know, rhythm for things, and the right ideas, the right big ideas that are going to kind of take people on a ride. I forgot what I was talking about. What were we talking about?
Video games.
Off in the weeds a little bit.
Well, here's a follow-up then.
Before you
go ahead. Go ahead, Patrick.
There's one thing that I'm not sure many people realize. It's the fact that when you're saying you're still old students about this, I can't think of anything that has been created quite like Warcraft before. A game that was so influential and that has been going on for 10 years trying to find, you know, things that keep the player base interested, that keep everyone coming in and engaged, it's not like you know, usually you make a game and then you make another one and you have a reset button kind of. I don't really think there's any other example of something so wide and so massive. So when you say you're still students, the team has to figure out everything all the time. So if sometimes it's frustrating for us as players, I think it's not. It's always a lot more difficult than we imagine, and that's one of the reasons. It's never been done. And as we go on, it's not because they've done it for 10 years that all of a sudden, oh, we've got everything figured out. It's still as hard as it's ever been.
And new challenges and new balance problems and content problems and new technologies that you plug into the product because you're geeked up and you're an artist and imagine what we can do with instancing, right? We had no idea the problems that instancing would cause. You know, it created a lot of great stuff, and then there was cause to some of that great stuff that we wouldn't really see until a year later or the next expansion set. So you're constantly trying to read what you built. It's like trying to build a car as you're driving it on the Autobahn. And there's not a lot of products that have been like that, and there's not a lot, although we support our products for years and years and years on end. I can't remember the last, like Diablo 2 had a patch, you know, in recent memory. Like, we're really into supporting products and ultimately our players over time. But we've never done anything quite like this, where it's been, you know, essentially not real-time development, but a lot of that too. And that actually reminded me where I was going earlier when I got lost in the weeds, is that, you know, for all of the craftsmanship on these games, and we dearly love these ideas, we love these lands and these scenarios we build and these races and these cultures. Like, we're just, you know, it's what we want to play. It's what we want to play. And so we get the unbelievable opportunity to kind of express that and bring that to other people in the hopes that they'll all want to play too. But the lesson of WoW, like the big idea about WoW over time that constantly hits me, is that even on our very best day, and we've learned a few tricks, on our very best day, it's not really about the craftsmanship, it's about people. It's about engagement. We built this essentially, I guess you can think about, we built this theme park in a way that people can jump into with each other and engage with each other. You know, if not always direct, or musing on each other. You know, it's in that way, it's unlike anything else we had built. But it's really affected the way that we look at the work and the way we look at what our company is and what our products are. It affects 10,000 decisions. You know, the idea that it really is about people, you know, and identity, and people coming together through these things that they love and developing friendships. And, you know, like, how many stories have I heard of people meeting in the game or around the context of the game and getting married and they got babies now, you know? And it's just life. You know, the one thing we all have in common is life, you know? And so it's funny that entertainment products like this, at times, and you can't design it for this, but at times this miracle happens and it just becomes this weird touch point in people's lives. I remember where I was when I first playing WoW. Or, you know, I remember having at the time, my one-year-old daughter in like this weird, I had like this seat that I would put her in and she'd be like, eh. You know, she's just chilling. And I got, whoop, you know, the bottle in this hand on my desk and I'm playing my druid.
Father of the year.
She's just doing her thing. You know, and I don't know, a year after that, she's like, dance like a bear, dad. And you know, like, ogre, you know. It's just this thing that's always been part of the texture of my life and my friends' lives and clearly many of your lives. And like I said, on your best day, I don't think you can design something. You absolutely cannot design something to do that. You design the thing as best you can, but it was a very special thing that this game touched people the way it did and drew them in the way it did. You know, so the trick to all that was, you know, don't break it, keep it moving, you know, keep allowing for people to stay in and engage. And
in that documentary, it became very clear that in those early days, that was a lot. I mean, you guys were hairier skin every day, right?
Oh, it was nuts. The first couple of years were just absolutely nuts, upside down, hair on fire. You know, as more and more people, you know, came into the product.
You know, we had to deploy more teams and deploy more servers, and you know, it's like we effectively became, you know, AT&T overnight. You know, we're just all we're qualified to do, arguably, is make fun gameplay sequences. And then suddenly we're running this giant global operation, and it was absolutely nuts. Having to learn how to even market the product into, you know, different international, you know, countries, and having to kind of just create this whole new identity around supporting the product. It put us through, I think I've been candid about this before, it put us through the ringer. It really tested what Blizzard was at the time. Sometimes people say, you hear this, it's like an adage, you know, that the biggest test you might ever go through is actually the test of success. Because oftentimes to achieve success, whatever that looks like, you're just going and you're myopic and you're passionate and you're just giving it everything you've got to do the thing. And suddenly, boom, that happened and people seemed to like it, and like now came, for all the hard work, now came the test. And you know, I think it took Blizzard a few years for us to not get our feet back under us. We were running a good business, and I don't know that it looked like chaos from outside, but we grew so fast. And that core team of people, right, that embodied all those values that kind of, you know, birthed the game in the first place, or all the games that had come before it, like suddenly we're not talking as much, and we're down the hall, and there's new departments, and there's this kind of new bureaucracy running all these subsystems. Like the company just transformed. And so, you know, we became, this is the joke, we kind of became the World of Warcraft company for a couple of years. Am I talking too much?
No.
No, it's great.
No, this is good.
Chatty Cathy. Yeah. So in a way, we kind of became the World of Warcraft company, and like all of our thought was bent towards, sure, we were building Star 2, and I think at the time, you know, Diablo 3 was spinning up, but there was a lot of thought towards this big, giant Godzilla of a thing that we had unleashed. And just keeping it real and staying true to ourselves. And so it's cool at this phase. We came through the trial, right? We came through it little older, little wiser. And I feel these days that like definitely that sense of like kind of old school Blizzard is back. You know, things like, it sounds like I'm selling you guys product. I'm just telling the story, but like Hearthstone and Overwatch, damn it. like feel like the teams that are building these products, it feels like the vibe of like Blizzard of old. Sure, we're this big company now, and we've learned a lot of lessons, but I love that we've survived the trial and we've come through just, I don't know, better, sharper.
Well, I had a question about that, because Blizzard's so different now. And Randy, when you and I were doing the instance in 2009, 2008, it was the World of Warcraft company. And we had an idea StarCraft was coming and maybe Diablo in the future, but we were seeing the Warcraft company as we were covering it on the show. And jump ahead a few years, they're the Heroes of the Storm company for me primarily. I freaking love that game. And Thrall's pretty good, by the way. Thrall's pretty good.
He's awesome.
What about Hearthstone Thrall, though? Come on. What's happening there?
Good too. Anyway. Well,
we need a shaman buff.
But yeah. Now you've got a
Silverhand Knight, though. Silverhand Knight's brilliant.
Totally agree.
You have a stable of games that is unprecedented in Blizzard history, and they're all kind of happening at the same time. They're all these living properties. You've got one that's just about to hit beta for everybody that you sure seemed excited about last year, and we're all stoked about it. We can't wait to see Blizzard launch into a new genre. I don't know who wants to respond to this, but I feel like it's Disneyland at Blizzard right now. Like, this is my favorite. This is Renaissance time for the. And you can say, oh, well, I'm tired of playing WoW for 10 years. Well, that happens with a 10-year-old game. I still enjoy it, and I can't wait to see what they do next, and I think most of us here probably do. But isn't it nice to know that our favorite company is doing other things that, while I need to go get a little fun off on the side, I can go play Diablo for 3 hours and have a blast. Still my favorite game of the last 2 years. You know, Heroes of the Storm right now eats my soul. I love that game. And I don't like MOBAs.
Excellent.
I like this.
Excellent.
So I guess what I'm asking, Randy, we haven't heard from you much. I want to hear what you think about that. It's a real dichotomy from when we were doing this to then or to now.
Yeah, when we were really like just rushing into every new week of the instance, it felt like Blizzard was cranking out World of Warcraft at a faster pace. And it's not the case, right? Like, it really felt like there was all this Warcraft news for us to sink our teeth into every week. And so then when something like StarCraft II was coming along, we were looking at it. We were, you know, but we felt like we can't go there. Right. It's just like it's too much. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like it's kind of flipped on its head. And I can't believe how much this company is pouring out. Like I look back at 2008. I'm just thinking, geez, Blizzard wasn't even wasn't doing much by comparison with 2015.
No, it seemed big then, but it seems tiny now. We had the Lich King. That's it. Go home, everybody. We have the Lich King. I mean, that was basically it. And that was great, and we loved it. But now I just have these choices. I have this launcher with, six things in it. Hopefully a new one soon. And
it's something I absolutely adore about Blizzard, is that it has been able to change a lot of these focuses based on what Blizzard knows we like and do, you know? So I play Hearthstone every single day of my life. I always complete those quests every day, and they're always 60-point quests every day. I always, I'm always hitting the X and completing those every day. And Blizzard figured out years ago, before actually bringing this game into life, that one day, someone like me was going to want this game to be something that I could do really fast. You know, that in the evenings, while I'm waiting for dinner to come out of the oven, I could commit 20 minutes to this game and still make it an awesome game. I love that game. I love the idea that I can jump into Heroes of the Storm and 45 minutes later, I've played two matches. I feel good. I've had fun. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. You've killed Illidan a couple of times?
Oh, 17 times.
Freaking hate him.
Yeah.
Illidan is OP.
You know, the thing you're saying, Randy, which is I always, make sure I play my Hearthstone games, it really speaks to something I noticed and I wasn't sure about when I joined the company, 2009? And it was still true when I left a few months ago. What really surprised me was that even in Europe, with a team that does very different things from the teams in the US, the company culture was incredibly authentic. You can imagine, you were saying, Chris, that you had to become AT&T and it was this giant thing, and it's so easy to lose your soul when you have to grow like this at an exponential rate. And what really surprised me and impressed me was how everyone in the company was truly a gamer and a lover of Blizzard properties and Blizzard games. I like to tell that story, but I would go to lunch and we would meet, with the HR person and the, whatever finance person, and they would be talking about the raid they played through last night. What other company do you have where these kinds of things can happen?
Most people get sick of what they're doing, right? Like most jobs, you're like, I don't want to eat ice cream. I work at an ice cream place or whatever. But
yeah,
they're different.
No, exactly. Yeah.
I play World of Warcraft every single day. Yeah. I mean, I never miss a day. And it's like the first thing I do. I get up in the morning, I get a cup of coffee, and I go sit down and log into World of Warcraft. And I don't feel like there's any one thing
for work. Right. Yeah. That's what happens.
All for work.
R&D, baby.
No, man, I'm sitting at home, man. I'm in my underwear. And it's
He's in his underwear
you.
Now.
No, yes, thank you.
It's a family show.
But
and when you ask what motivates people at Blizzard, I think you touched on it again earlier. It's that Blizzard employees want to play those games. I remember, when we had the developer alphas and the internal alphas, we were like, when can we play freaking Hearthstone? Just make it company-wide. It's fine. We'll be okay. Don't worry. There's really this love of the thing. It's pretty incredible.
It was even worse waiting for it. I want it on the iPad. Please.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then when they started talking phones and everybody was just chomping at the bit, that was bad. So I want to touch on Overwatch just real quick. One of the hallmarks of what you do at Blizzard is create characters and story with you and your team that are meaningful, and we all care about these characters. We can't wait to see what happens to them next. I've had moments in the game that are downright tearful because you're really invested in who some of these characters are. And the end of Cataclysm, when all the aspects are essentially given up the ghost, that still gives me chills. I loved that. I thought that was amazing. And the cinematics team just nailed it, and all that stuff's great. Music, all of it. With Overwatch, it's so clearly a first-person shooter with so much action, I can taste it, and I can't wait to shoot people, and it's going to be awesome, and all those things. But I get the feeling you have a lot of stuff planned story-wise, and it'll come out in other ways. And I'm really curious about any of that you can speak to.
I can't say too much about it, other than I think things we've said publicly before. We are
we are building a world, right? And that doesn't mean we're building a morgue. I just mean we're building a world of ideas. I want to look back in a couple years and know that we put as much heart and soul and thought and detail into what Overwatch is than we did on StarCraft. If you look at something like StarCraft or Warcraft, it's all kind of different scale of conceptual density. But we make really detailed worlds, you know, in a way. Part of that is because they're video games, or they express themselves as video games. The games have so many complexities and moving components. I've always been a big fan of, like, you know, rationalize everything, or as much as you can. You know, there's a reason for that widget in the corner, and like, what, how does that tie into this and that? So these worlds can get very dense and very rich with detail. And I don't know, it's just my opinion or whatever, but I want Overwatch to be that big, and not just as an exercise, because I want to tell these stories. I want to take people on a ride. I want to draw people into the universe. We've said right out of the gate that, you know, there's no narrative inherent in the essential gameplay. You know, it's a team-based shooter. But when you guys start to see some of the stories that are coming for the world of Overwatch, I don't know if any of you are... is it?
No, it's not.
It's not. When
Patrick's still doing PR here.
He can't quit.
When you guys get to play... yeah.
There
are many people playing, but yeah. I keep forgetting that soon.
It's not us. Yeah.
It's not you.
We remember,
but when you,
Chris,
when you guys get
remember.
To play, you'll see, like, there's so many choices made in these maps and the world that we're building. Sure, it's a shooter map, right? But we've lovingly constructed each map and each corner of the street and each sign and each thing and little, you know, little doodads here and there, just like we do on WoW, you know, just to make the space feel contiguous and specific and rich. And it just draws you in with that, just that sense that, like, there's just something going on behind the next corner, which is usually your teammate being blown to smithereens, but that there's something fictional going on behind each corner. So what we have said is, I think at Comic-Con I grandly revealed, sure, we're doing a graphic novel that's kind of like the origin of Overwatch, how the first Overwatch strike team came together, and that's been super fun to develop. So that's in progress right now, and then we're doing. We're going to use. How many of y'all saw the reveal trailer we did for BlizzCon last year?
Yeah,
many.
Speaking of a tearjerker, it was awesome.
Well, you know, it was a very special piece for us, and it felt good to build, it felt good to conjure, and then it was. Can't even tell you how it felt to actually finally be able to share it with the community. And have people vibe out on it. It's in a way, kind of a departure for us. It's a different tone. It's a different vibe we were going for in that piece. And we want to do more of that. Now, whether what we do looks exactly like that or, you know, we're still putting it all together. But let's say we're neck deep in a number of stories about the universe of Overwatch that are going to frame these characters and kind of show you who they are, how they tick, you know, who went to college with who, and who's, you know, super archenemies with who. It's been one of the funnest projects I've ever gotten a chance to work on at Blizzard, and at, I don't know, you know, at close to 42 after 22 years of being at Blizzard, I'm lit up like a Christmas tree again on this thing, and I have so much fun working with these teams and just, you know, shaping this big idea. I love superheroes. I'm just a huge comic dork. And so this has been, you know.
So how much of Overwatch was basically Chris Metzen wants to make superheroes?
Probably a lot.
I choose to not answer that, Senator.
one of them looks a little like you.
Yeah, Hanzo? Is that your
character? He's so hot right now. Hanzo.
Not Winston?
who is Chris Metzen in this game?
Oh, there's no. In truth. Here you go. It's the tired, weathered 76. In truth, takes his mask off. He's just this tired beard.
Gul'dan, then.
Yeah, Gul'dan.
Gul'dan,
exactly.
Okay.
But are you doing any voices for this?
No, I've kind of been banned from doing voices.
I always explain.
Not by me.
Not by him. I always explain. When we were back in the day doing Warcraft 3, we had a huge stable of voice actors. As we were actually developing WoW at the same time, so many of those voice actors ported over, and I wanted to have things be as consistent as possible. And then we started doing kind of raids and, you know, kind of big signature dungeons, and we hadn't planned to do VO for everything, right? Like back in the day, 11, 12 years ago. No one had even had the thought. I think it was like EQ2 was the first group I heard, like, we're going to have VO for everything. What? I don't know how we could do that. So a lot of times, we would just run down the hall and record things, and it was kind of temp, and it was kind of whatever, and then we'd just affect it to Kingdom Come, and people wouldn't know the difference, that it wasn't professional actors. That was my hope, at least. It's kind of funny, as it went, we just run down the hall, hey, I need VO for this character, okay, let's go. I have regret about that over time.
You got to do Battle Cruiser for us.
I think it's good though. I think
so. You're the war chief and the human king.
Yeah, exactly. That was good. I like to imagine it like an Eddie Murphy film or something like that. Yeah.
Big Mama's House. You know, yeah. It's like. So yeah, I wish it hadn't gone that way. But it has been super fun to voice these characters. Super fun. But I'm no actor, you know. So it's like at this point, moving forward into something like Overwatch, and even WoW itself, as we identify newer characters, like, we kind of love the idea of just really finding great, great, great people that aren't just running down the hall, that actually put a lot of thought and passion into the roles. Illidan.
There should be at least an Easter egg Metzen voice in there, like maybe one of the arcade machines.
Stick it in.
God.
Yeah.
Battle Cruiser operational. That was my goal.
Totally stole from Robotech.
Oh, really?
Obviously.
Yeah, you're a Robotech fan.
Captain Global.
Big robots.
Perhaps I shouldn't have admitted.
We're getting to the point where we're gonna start having questions from you guys. We're gonna have a mic runner. He happens to be 15 years old, and he happens to be my son. So I want him to come up here real quick. Nick, come up here.
Town crier.
Town crier time.
Over there.
Here we go.
Go, Nick.
So Nick, come sit by me, buddy. I'm gonna get you all kind of ready for your big moment. Before we do that, one thing I want to say, and then one thing I want to show, and then we'll get you your questions, and we're gonna give away a bunch of really rad swag. My wife has got some killer stuff from Blizzard this year. Huge thanks to Blizzard, as always. Every year they support this like crazy. But that's kind of along the lines of what I wanted to say. I'm not sure Frog Pants exists in the form it does today, or that this happens at all, without what they built and then I riffed on. And I don't give it enough credit sometimes. So I want to do that here in front of a couple of its principles, as far as I'm concerned, that I don't know that any of this other stuff expanded and got to where it got without the instance having that source material. And it was something special that I took for granted, because I just figured all game companies would be this much news every week, this much content all the time, this much stuff to say about the business they're in. It's not true. I tried it.
No, you and I used to talk every week before the show.
Yeah.
What game are we playing? What's going to be the next big thing? What else could we be doing?
What could we apply this format to?
Nothing.
And it doesn't work. And that's not to say there can't be other games where it does work. And maybe they're coming, maybe they've come, or maybe I don't have the interest in them needed to make it happen. But there's something special in the sauce with World of Warcraft, and now Blizzard in general. I mean, you've heard on the instance, we're talking about everything because we can't help it because we love it all. And it just really matters to us. So thanks for that, you guys, and everyone at Blizzard. It makes a huge difference. Okay. Now here's the part you've all been waiting for before we start doing Q&A. You all right? You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, hang in there. I have a very special clip. I have a friend at Legendary Pictures. They're the studio working on the film. Chris doesn't know about this, neither does Russell, or Randy for that matter. This will be your first sneak peek at the new movie, okay? So sit still.
Oh, no.
Here you go. Is the volume up and good? We're good, right? Brandon, all right, dun, here we
dun,
go.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh wait, there's a, where is it? Thank you.
Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt!
Sleep!
Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt!
Sleep!
Lightning bolt! Root!
I think it looks really good.
By the way, that was the cast and crew from The Martian coming out soon, and that stuff at the end. Anyway.
Worth waiting for. Yes.
I just wanted to keep you... final effect pass as well? Did you think...
Yeah, that is.
Did you think for even a second, though, I really had anything? There's no way, right?
Oh, dude.
I don't know, Scott. I mean, to me, that just looked like one big computer. You know, I wasn't sure about that.
Graphics suck.
I'm already not interested.
Yeah, still, exactly.
That lightning bolt looked like crap.
Yeah.
There's still some post-production
OP
work to be
Shaman,
done.
OP Shaman, though, as well.
Boy, those lightning bolts look good, though, didn't they? Man. No offense to any LARPers. I think that's all good fun.
Like, there's always a percentile chance, right? I'm like, no,
you were thinking, wait a minute.
Like, there's
how
no
is this
way.
Possible?
I had to sign away my whole, you know.
Right. And you go to YouTube, and there's a split second before you get Rickrolled that you think maybe they posted something.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed making that. Thank you for bearing with me. All right.
Excellent.
All right. It is time for us to do a little town crier. Hand me that mic. Now, when Nicholas was 5 years old, or no, you'd been six, barely six. No, not quite six. You're still five. The incident started early January 2006.
Was he six or five?
He was five.
Before we move
five.
On.
He was five. It's easy to tell he was born in 2000, so you just kind of add a year every time, right? Good math for me. So he did a little bumper for us for our town crier segment, which was our emails and our calls. You guys are all familiar with it. And when he did it, he was 6 years old, 5 years old. Sorry, I did it again. And he had a tiny little kid voice. Well, he's 15 now. All the ladies love him. And we're going to have him walk around with a mic. He's going to be the guy with the mic and take questions from those of you who raise your hand and want to stand up. Important note, Kim will be giving cool swag to Kim and Carter. Cool swag to people. How are you picking them? Just do good questions. You'll get some cool stuff, I guess. And we'll have some other stuff to throw around, too, so don't worry. So let's do that. Are you ready? But before we do that, we have to do the thing. So here we go. No, you have to do the hear ye, hear ye.
Yeah, I start.
Okay. Right in the mic.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why? It's the Town Crier.
Count.
Why? Hold on. Take two. Why? It's the Town Crier. Good job,
Barry White. I love it. Scott, I just want to jump in and ask a question, just because I want to steal this opportunity.
He wears goodies.
I should get something from this. Warlords, we had Garrosh be this big plot point off the back of Mists, and then Thrall brought him to justice. How do you feel about that? Like, as you know, as Thrall, do you feel any responsibility in the monster that was Garrosh? Did he need a dad that wasn't there?
That is the impression, isn't it?
Yeah.
You forgot your red shirt.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Manson!
Yeah, exactly. I would put it this way.
He was a big boy, and he made his own choices. Treat him like an adult.
And in terms of Mokrathar, sorry. In terms of Mokrathar, you're not allowed to bring weapons, or potentially one weapon, and yet Thrall uses magic. How was that? Is that a legitimate combat, or did he just straight up murder Garrosh?
You sound like the church lady. Or
yeah,
something.
I don't know. I just that's my nerd voice. Suspend your disbelief, I guess.
Oh, cool. Oh, I got an Illidan. Amazing.
All right. Excellent.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
Jeff
has
a question.
I see some hands up. Pick who you want to pick. Feel free to ask any of us any questions you want. Just know some of it you're not be able to answer. Those of us on the show will give you any opinions we have. Just pick at random, buddy.
Jeff has a question.
Jeff over there. I want Jeff's question.
Nick.
Okay. Oh, no, nothing.
You're not
charged?
No. anyone from Blizzard, will there ever be a sequel to Lost Vikings?
Like the proper game?
I love the first game. The second game was okay, but... A proper sequel.
He doesn't mean the annoying nightmare that is having them on your team in Heroes of the Storm.
True.
Just to clear that up.
I would never say never,
But that would be very interesting. But I think the docket's a little full these days.
So and Blackthorn must be in line before Lost Vikings, surely.
For a Blackthorn standalone?
Yeah, game. Oh yeah, there you go. My phone is waiting.
Again, never say never.
I would say this. We know Blizzard's hired a bunch of new mobile people, right? We don't know what all they're working on. We got a Hearthstone team, but there are other people doing things that aren't yet announced. I don't see any reason why we couldn't see a really nice return to Blizzard platformers in the mobile space or on handhelds in general. So that's based on nothing I know. I just think that there's a reason those guys are there and they're doing good work, and we've yet to hear about some more of their cool kind of Hearthstone-like efforts on mobile. That's what I think. All right, next person. You gotta stay out there, boy.
Engage, Maverick.
It takes a village. You guys can help me out. There we go.
How you doing?
The internet's Jeff Cannata, everybody.
I just want that swag. No. Yeah. I love Hearthstone. I love Heroes of the Storm more than a human being should. I anticipate loving Overwatch. But from the outside looking in, it seems to me that the cancellation of Titan kind of signaled a shift in the kinds of games that Blizzard makes. Is that accurate? Or are we going to see big sort of worlds of games? I know you spoke about Overwatch's narrative elements and the fact that you are building a world, but sort of a narrative-based game, is that going to be in Blizzard's future still, or are we seeing a shift?
It's hard to know how to answer that without leading you on, and there's nothing to lead you on about. I think the observation is correct for now. I think there was some meta spiritual effect from us not bringing Titan off. Did not feel good, felt terrible. We worked really hard on that thing. So I think this reflexive sense of like, maybe we don't walk right back into burdening ourselves with something at the same scale, at the same complexity, and let's just kind of get back to formula and just build things that are maybe a little, I don't mean to suggest short term at all, but a little more achievable in our mortal lifetimes, and just have fun making games again, and just build perhaps, you know, kind of smaller scale products that we love and we want to play, and let's just start there. And so I think some of these ideas, have come about that way right now. But I love our tradition of narrative games. The Diablos and the StarCraft campaigns, and I don't imagine those things are. It sounds like I'm pitching product. Like, we're going to want to do that. We're going to want to do more of that. We like doing that kind of work. So right now, I think we're in a phase where we're trying kind of, smaller scale products, kind of finding our bearings. Things seem to be working really good, but I wouldn't be surprised to see games with kind of narrative, embedded in the game pop again. Again, like Legacy of the Void, I can't wait for that to pop, I think it's one of the coolest, narrative campaigns we've ever done. And it's just awesome to see StarCraft finally crescendo after working on it for so long. So it's a part of who we are. We're not gonna lay that down, for long. Again, I'm not telling you we got games coming, but it's a values thing.
Cool.
I over-answered that, didn't I?
No, it's good. That's good. So you're saying Tassadar will be resurrected and we'll just change into a jet during that game?
I've got the lawyers on it right now. All right.
$13 skin the other day. Anyway, all right, who we got, Nick?
Okay, there, you can hear me. So I'm Cooch Lane from Silverhand. I sometimes leave strange messages for you guys on the instance.
First, I want
to mention that my wife and I actually met in World of Warcraft. She's Canadian, so she finally eventually got here to Salt Lake. We're happily living together, but thanks to that game is what we got us together.
I think there's going to be more babies linked to Warcraft than to Genghis Khan.
No babies.
I think, yeah, exactly. just in general.
But my question actually was more about you guys personally. When I raid, I like to put on music from EDC, so electronic dance music to listen to. When you play Hearthstone or other games, what do you like to listen to that kind of gets you in the groove and you enjoy?
Yeah, Russell, what do you do? Because a lot of us, and I know this is true of a lot of you guys, I listen to a lot of Russell Brower music a lot.
Yeah, I do.
It helps me work. It's super soothing. It's like the stuff I get done listening to. I don't even tell him that, but I listen to it all the time. So what do you do when you're trying to create?
When I'm trying to create, I really don't listen to anything. I immerse myself in the concept art and the stories and everything, and I talk to this guy here, and I try not to listen to stuff too much because we're trying to provide immersion and create more moods and have them be strong and draw you in, and it's really easy to go see the latest film, and if it's really good and if it sucks you in, it's kind of easy to unconsciously go there. And so want to keep it pure. So sometimes if I do listen to anything, I'll actually go back and listen to Warcraft 2. In case of World of Warcraft, Warcraft 2, Warcraft 3. Like, where are our roots? What dots can I connect with our team, all of us together? What dots can we connect from 10, 15 years ago to today?
And Elite Touring Chieftain, is he going to do some cool ETC credits in the next expansion? I think you should ask the guys to record a new track.
The problem is they have a drummer, and once you have a drummer, the band just can't get it together. I don't know. No offense to
Alan DeBerry.
Alan, yeah, sorry, Alan.
He's a really nice guy, you know.
I was hoping you'd say you listen to the Instance podcast while you get work done, but that's fine. It's fine.
I hope I answered your question.
It's not a problem.
No, Chris, that's for fun, not for work.
Chris loves the everything. You got really eclectic music taste, don't you?
I have a fairly eclectic music taste. My wife doesn't think so. She hates it.
It's all Wings of Liberty, isn't it? I thought it was just a Terran soundtrack.
What do you listen to?
I'm the guy who plays one game and listens to the music from the other.
Yeah.
So like I'm playing Diablo, listening to StarCraft music, playing Hearthstone, listening to Warcraft music, and I love that.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I always want to hug Russell and say, you done something special like that I've never heard before. Like where I can't imagine a movie having some other movie's music on it, but somehow with Blizzard games, I feel totally
I'm
at ease.
In particular, really enamored with this. So they're doing this Diablo event, the Battle of the Eternities event in Heroes of the Storm, and the mix of Diablo and traditional Heroes intro music that's currently at the launch screen, unfreaking believable. It is so good.
It's weird how it's like Pavlov's dogs, like certain pieces of music just you just have a visceral response. Johnny Williams on that core Star Wars theme, we were just talking about the other night with the Rings score. There's just pieces of music that just draw you straight back to that moment where you emotionally imprinted on X, whether it's a game or a film or whatever.
That Diablo guitar riff, it just puts me in a place time.
Yeah.
And it's in that thing, and it just feels like the best mashup. And is that, Russell, here's a question. Is that stuff coming out on disc or something? We get it at some point? Like Heroes of the Storm compilation?
We just had a whole series of meetings on how to make the Heroes of the Storm music available to everyone. So I don't have any details of exactly how, but we know it needs to be out there. So
it's a free game, so just download it and play it.
$10 per song.
Oh, wow.
It's just really good. Except for the Spider Queen battle music, I hate that stuff. All right, next up.
I want to say thanks to Scott and the Instance and everybody at Blizzard. But I want to ask, World of Warcraft has been around for 10 years now. What are your thoughts? What are your impressions? Is it going to make another 10 years as a playable game? What are your plans for the future with it?
How to answer that one? I don't know anything. 10 years. I don't think we ever imagined that it would go for 10 years and still have millions of people playing it. So there's a lot of to-do about subscriber numbers, and we capped at 12, and it's, things have been, variable by expansion set. Oh, could it sustain itself? Could it keep going?
You know, you look at, you know, there's a number of other morgues out there that have been running at least that long that have, you know, vibrant communities and people that just love the product and are still slugging it out. And I don't have any difficulty imagining World of Warcraft still running 10 years from now. Is it at the same scale 10 years from now? None of us know. We don't know what's going to happen. But I love the idea. I equate it to this. This is a little anecdote. I equate it to this. Hopefully I can say these things out loud. I didn't like D&D 4th edition all that much. You know, I don't want my D&D to feel like a damn video game. I want to role play. I want to get lost in it. So 5th comes out, and I'm all lit up, right? And I got kids at home. I'm like, you guys, I'm going to introduce you to some D&D. So we start playing, and I'm like, I miss this. It's such a fundamental part of my life and how my imagination was shaped over time. I started kind of feeling this weird feeling. Beyond product to product, 5th or whatever, 6th is going to be one day, I just had this feeling of like, I love that it's always there, that D&D is always there, like this backdrop to life, and no matter where I am or what I'm doing, it's this thing that I know, like this warm hearth that I can come back to, and I can count on, and I can engage with, and just get lost for a while. And I love that thought, kind of wrapping it around. In a way, I know, because I've heard it from people, that WoW kind of feels like that too. So maybe the big, great press statement isn't that there's consistent subscribership or whatever, whatever. It's this thing that you know is going to be there, where your friends are going to show up, you know, put out the new expansion set. Everyone gets like, okay, it's either my thing or it's not, but like, I'm so nostalgic, and to jump back in the pool with my friends, hell yeah, I'm jumping back in. And I love that. I love the continuity of that, that it's more than just a game product. It's just this thing that's there that you can come home to when you want, and find your people again, right? Whether they be your friends or blood elves or whatever. that's truly amazing to me. It's this backdrop as much as it's this commercial product. I don't know. That was a roundabout.
That human need to keep going back to something immersive and provide escape, yeah, or a link to family and friends. That's never going to go away for any of us, yeah, whatever the vehicle is. And actually, it can sort of answer that music question a little bit more. You know, it doesn't matter what you listen to while you're playing, as long as you're enjoying yourself and you're having a great time. And then if you do switch on the music again, you will get that, wow, that was the soundtrack of my life, to my life, whenever, and yeah, it will take you back home.
Yeah.
I just had a couple questions about Heroes of the Storm. I love that game. The first one, is there any kind of insight we can get on the new StarCraft Warrior yet to be announced? Like maybe a race?
Oh, they did. Yeah, they announced there'd be a StarCraft Warrior coming with. You get it with
the
which collection edition or whatever it is.
Legacy of the Void.
Yeah. Can anyone? We can't say that, can we?
I ain't saying nothing, man.
What's your guess? Asker?
I'd have to say it's probably either Phoenix or maybe Artanis.
Ooh. Oh. Those are all right.
That'd be cool.
How about who's the bad old guy?
Arcturus.
Yeah, I want Manx.
Manx? No.
Old guy out there just going,
exoskeleton.
Yeah.
Let's get some Zelnaga in there and just, you know, not really know.
I say, boy.
You know, that's interesting. I was just thinking, one of you, just to kind of add on something you said over there, this being this familiar thing that's just always there for you, there's also, it's worth mentioning, that there's a reason you guys probably didn't make Hearthstone out of a whole new IP with new characters and a whole new thing. And there's probably a reason why Heroes of the Storm doesn't look like League or Dota, where it's all just a bunch of fake things that kind of remind us of Warcraft characters. You have the stable of characters we care about. I don't.
Are
I'm
you
not
saying like IO is a wisp?
I mean, that's what they are. They are.
Damn, man.
They changed the Lich King to look like a different dude and all that. I get it, and it's fine that they did that, and that's good. Good legally and all the other reasons. But the reason we are compelled by these games and by Hearthstone and Heroes alike is that, oh my gosh, I can pit Diablo versus Vala. I can see Raynor and Tychus look uncomfortable together as they're sitting in the Nexus.
But
somebody
equally,
shot somebody in the face, you know what I mean?
Don't you think that the heroes' incarnations are the coolest versions of those characters? I mean, Thrall and Jaina and, you know, these characters are just so much cooler than they've ever been shown before. And I think Heroes just turns it right up to 11. It's just, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. All right, sorry.
Kind of on that same track with like the character interactions, will Heroes of the Storm and the Nexus, will that play any sort of story part in the Blizzard multiverse, or is it just kind of...
I am curious about how that works, because it's obviously a mashup of ridiculousness, right?
It's kind of like you just have to embrace the absurdity of it all. There's power there. There's fun there. So if this specific question is, will events transpiring in the Nexus spill out into the core continuity of our existing worlds? I'm not gonna answer that.
Listen,
I would say never say never, because you know the team may pitch an unbelievably genius thing, but this is my opinion. I don't like it when Superman fights the Giger's alien. Mm-hmm. I don't like big goofy team ups and crossovers and stuff on rare occasions. I don't know. I think it would be hard to do, because the tonal reality of those franchises can be pretty dark, and Heroes is anything but. So I think it wouldn't match, and it would be so forced. I don't know that it would please.
So confirmation, a comic series coming out where pajama-wearing Abathur is helping Illidan cheat at something.
That would be good, wouldn't it? I'd like
confirmed.
That, though. Diablo, you've got, it's quite a treasure you have there. And then all of a sudden, just like Tassadar rocks up.
Right.
Yeah, he could take some names.
If we don't get Deckard Cain before this event is over.
Yeah, can we make that happen? And Chris,
and
I'll tote you the
stay
voice.
A while
if his ultimate isn't stay a while and listen and everyone gets stunned.
Everyone's stunned.
It's a huge
rooted.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, we're waiting for Cain.
That's not bad.
I'll identify a can of whoop ass.
You've really pissed me off this time.
Nick, you got a new one? Where are you at? Oh, go ahead.
I was wondering what your thoughts on the dragon aspects are. I mean, we haven't really seen anything with them other than the Raytheon and Chromie stuff with Garrosh, and I was wondering if you can shed a little light on what they're going to be doing in the future, if you can.
I can neither confirm nor deny that there's been some thought put into those characters, and that there may yet still be some, fuel in the tank. And on top of that, man, I ain't saying nothing.
It's a fair question. The aspects are cool. We're into that. Nick, you got another one? This light's so bright
around.
Where is he? Oh, he's looking. He's grabbing. Okay. He's spreading himself around a little bit.
It's too cool to run. It's 15.
Not getting a minute of track.
Oh, cool, the old
soon.
Lady. Yay. I'm Teresa Rogue Tess, and I live in Irvine, Turtle Rock, down the road from you guys. First of all, I want to thank you for raising my son.
Wow.
That is maybe one of the most terrifying things I've ever heard.
But you get a really nice tax write-off.
He's a great guy. He's very creative. He's Vibes of the Tribe on SoundCloud, and he just loves to create. My question is for Russell or anyone who wants to comment. One of the most engaging college football halftime shows that I've ever seen was all video game music. Everybody hangs out and they all talk about, oh yeah, that's Super Mario or whatever. Now, do you ever envision, Russell, or does it terrify you, that someday college football marching bands might be playing Blizzard music? I mean, would you ever license your music to something like a Tesla commercial? Or I worry about the music being out there for everyone so that it becomes diluted. But any comment on that?
I could totally see that, the Taco Bell dun 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 dugga 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 dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
Macho
that's a sound
burrito.
After a Taco Bell, though, isn't it?
The Doom Burrito. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. Yeah, that's what it sounds like after you eat.
Well, I can say that yes, I have thought of that. Yes, they are, and they have been for a while. Marching bands have been requesting music from mostly World of Warcraft for several years now, and whenever an educational institution or anything like that contacts me and says, hey, we want to do a concert or we want to maybe one of the students or the instructor has done a marching band arrangement or an orchestral thing, choral, and they say, and if they say, can we do this? We always say yes, and we. And, you know, we give them a gratis license so that they can do it and hold their head high and know that you know, no one's going to come after them. And and we're just thrilled to death. And we also, we have released a lot of our music as sheet music. And it's still available. I think some of it's out of print, but through the Alfred Music Publishing Company. And I love this because this gets our music into schools and things like that. And we didn't force it in. People kept asking. And it's not just schools. It's all sorts of occasions and things like that. Not to bring it down, but even funerals. I mean, there are all sorts of ways that music has helped bring World of Warcraft into the vernacular for everybody. So we encourage it, absolutely.
So if I was to make an adult movie, though, do you reckon...
Dun, 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 dun.
The tavern music. Dun, 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 dun.
Kind of tavern is this?
One thing...
Whoa! Legendary! Yeah.
Get Arkenstone to help out again.
Jobstone.
It's interesting.
That was great.
Wow. That was not only funny and well-timed, but really accurate. Did you hear how well it was?
Yeah.
One of the things I've always liked about Blizzard as a podcaster, and this would be interesting to some of you who are doing this, they've always been so gracious about that kind of thing. Russell would send me music sometimes and say, check this out, and do play it on the show. I have permission that you can play
any
it.
Such
officially.
Thing.
No, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, things like that. They've always encouraged us to say, yeah, sample those voices so they can hear what the Pandaren sound like next week or whatever. And it was always stuff early on I worried a lot about because I don't want to ruffle feathers or whatever, but they just have been so much more open, and the community teams are incredibly open now, and being able to work with them in ways that we never could before, they deserve a lot of credit for that. But I think we have time for at least two more. Before they got to split these rooms and start some other shows after the break. So where are you at, Nick? All right, perfect.
I just wanted to say thank you to the whole Instance crew. I played up until Cataclysm, and then my computer was at the point where I was like, okay, Pandaria is coming out. I'm not going to play Pandaria until I get a better computer. And you guys really, every single week, I'm listening to you going, I could have forgot about WoW, probably. But, you know, every week I'm going, oh, God, that sounds awesome. Oh, that sounds badass. So that I appreciate that a lot. It's been fun. Everybody's talking about Warlords. I'm just now into the Jade Forest in Pandaria. And holy crap, it looks amazing. I just finished the Temple of the Jade Serpent, and I was just blown away. I'm going to work telling all my friends they don't play anymore. And they're like, yeah, cool.
Whatever. We are all going to remember Pandaria as a... It's something special,
yeah,
I'm telling
the
you.
The Celestials are just
it's amazing. Everything. The storytelling is better. Everything. I love it. So the only question I have, really, is the one thing that's missing for me personally is back in, I know you don't like it, Chris, but Vanilla, when I played that game was hard. That game was really hard. I mean, there were some times where you run up and you go, okay, I can take one of those mobs that's one level below me, but if I get to the second one, I'm running away screaming like a little girl. In Pandaria, and I know I'm not on the current expansion, I'm just wondering, when I get to the current expansion, is that level of difficulty going to be higher to where I'm thinking more about what I'm doing rather than just running?
When you get to the Timeless Isle, well, I don't know if you will bother, but it's Nels. You've got to pay attention and actually play the game. Yeah. But I don't think that's necessarily... I don't think that would be a good thing. We look back on Classic WoW, and a lot of us had a lot more time and spent a lot more time playing those games. I think now the game has grown and aged with us, and I think that you can find the challenge, but ultimately, I imagine that it's going to carry on in a more sort of, you know, hey, drop some consecration, go AFK, come back, it's all good. That's why I play a paladin, you know, in the beginning days, just AFK.
Well, sometimes we remember that stuff in this really fun, nostalgic way, but if we really remembered it, we were frustrated.
You mean
that two
if we really,
killed me.
Really?
Yeah.
Think
and,
about it.
Yeah.
And I want to argue with the premise. Like, I don't know where you are in Pandaria, but I'll give you until the Tuesday reset to beat the Celestial Tournament.
Oh,
seriously.
Yeah.
Like, that is hard. I have like 9 pages of notes in a Google Doc so that I can beat the Celestial Tournament. Like, it's not easy.
All right, I think we got time for one more. And by the way, we have a bunch more stuff to give out. So when we finish this question, we will toss some stuff into the audience.
And I don't want to speak for kind of Chris and Russell, but I'm assuming you guys are okay for people coming up and asking questions afterwards. So if you don't get your question answered, everyone's around. So.
Unless it's about the sixth or any of these other things that we've talked about. Oh, and because they have to split these rooms really quick, the best thing to do is try to grab each other out in the hallway, because there's going to be a crew in here shutting these walls. So just, that's why there's the break. So just letting you know. Okay, next up.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and this is for all of y'all or any of y'all. I just wanted to ask if you could have any of your characters from WoW or any of the games put into the lore of a book or a game, which one would you pick?
Well, you can get GURPS Perfect Arrow now.
right. Yeah.
I believe Terps
so is it canon, are you saying? Well, you've got Terps is Sonora's shield.
Oh, shield.
But
sadly,
your actual character.
Yeah, so anything involving Jaina Proudmoore, I think I would love to see Terpster alongside her in some way. I think she's really into blue dragons, but I think if she, once you go gnome, you don't go home, basically. You never go home.
I think once you go gnome, you can't go home.
Yeah. But I think I'm interested in any of that, and I think Chris is welcome to license at a very agreeable rate of our IPs.
Awesome. Great question. Anything else? You good?
I'm good.
Well, that was a wonderful question. You guys have all had great questions. Before we go, though, little treat for fans of the instance when Randy and I were running the boat. Quick fire questions. Randy's going to start. I think the way we used to do it is he would rapid fire. I can't wait, right? I have to hurry up and do it.
No, you have to start.
Oh, I'm starting?
Yeah, because that gives you the final word.
Oh, all right. Okay. No. Okay. Cool. Is that how we used to do it?
Yes.
All right. I don't know what's going on. So here are my 6 quick fire questions constructed just before this episode. Okay. Here you go.
All right.
Number 1. How do you pronounce chorizo?
You just did.
Crap.
That's. I mean.
Dang it! I did do it right, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. All right. Just pronounce chorizo.
Your favorite Blizzard game?
World of Warcraft.
All right. That's too easy. How do you pronounce machete?
I say machete.
All right. Well, you're wrong.
I am wrong, as you know.
Number 4, best Hawaiian island?
Maui is the best.
Yeah.
It is.
Best blood elf? Just kidding. That's an extra thing anyway.
All right.
Same answer is the problem. Wet, hot American summer. Any good?
It's getting better. Every time I watch it, it's a little better.
We hated it on FilmSack.
The first time I watched it, I thought that was the stupidest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I've seen some pretty stupid things.
Yeah.
But I've watched it repeatedly, and I don't know why.
just like the old show, these are the least rapidly answered questions we've ever done.
Sorry.
Final question, Tassadar or Vala? Who wins in a fight?
Vala.
Why?
Vala.
Why?
Because all she does is kill. That's all she ever does. She just kills.
I'll put some electricity in your feet, and then we'll talk.
He keeps coming, and she keeps killing.
All right, fair enough.
All right.
Pray at the feet of the Church of Tassadar. That's right. Here we go.
I'm a Sonya player myself.
Sonya's great.
That's my thing.
Spin and win.
I don't really care what's going on. Yeah, I just get in a lane and kill creeps by spinning through them. Yeah. And there's something else going on, and I'm killing creeps. It's great.
So
feeling.
Good, that game.
All right, I have 6 questions for you, Scott Johnson, that I got from other people.
I'm ready. Really?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. Just like old times.
All right.
Isn't it good? Good feeling.
Yep.
Okay, so someone named Mark T. said, Scott, as we all know, your body has been utterly failing you for a long time. When did it first start to fall apart, and what did you do to cause your eventual early death?
I don't know who this Mark T could ever be.
Yeah.
Clean living, no smoking, no drinking. It makes a guy die early or something.
Yeah. So you think if you'd been a smoker?
I think I'd be doing just fine.
You'd be doing all right.
Yeah. Menthol all right. Saves all.
Okay, someone named Pat B. asked.
Pat. Can I call you Pat?
Scott, you can call me anything you want.
The question is, what would GURPS' name be if he was a female gnome warrior?
I actually have a female gnome warrior placeholder character on a server, and I think her name is GURPET.
All right.
How did you come up with them? That's amazing.
I always hold any slots on a server I want to hold, always gnomes, every time.
All right. Someone
I'm never going to play them, they're just holders.
Someone initialed VB asked, regarding scary movies, why do you keep trying to get friends of yours who you know don't like to be scared to watch them? What's wrong with you?
So with Carter, I do this with my daughter. I want her to watch sad things because I like that she's such an emotional creature, and I like to see her be emotional because I think it's sweet. I like that she still feels these kind of raw primal feelings about the first 10 minutes of Up, for example, or something. I do this with Veronica, sorry, VB, with scary movies because I know she hates them, and there's something about the destroyer of world, Veronica Ann Belmont, sitting in front of a scary movie and being terrified, and I don't know why that appeals to me, but whatever.
Someone
sadism,
named Thomas M.
I think.
What'd you say?
Sadism. I think that's what appeals to
interests.
Yeah. Sadism, that's it.
So someone named Thomas M. asked, when exactly did you last poop, and what's wrong with you?
This morning at 7:30, and that list is too long.
All right.
Nothing's wrong with me, I'm fine. Everything's fine. No one believes me. They're all looking at me like, no, it's not.
I actually have three more questions.
All right?
So three more questions. From JR, is there any truth to the rumor that back in your heroin-addled days, you repeatedly took adrenaline shots to the heart to regain consciousness?
Is there any truth to it?
Yeah.
There is only truth to it.
Okay, all right. And the other question from this JR person, what is a cuckservative? Cuckservative. What is a cuckservative?
J.R. Justin Robert Young. You don't know?
I just have initials.
Cuckservative?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Cuckservative. I feel like I'm being made to say something terrible and I don't know. Cuckservative?
Just a definition for that word.
It's got to have some, he's all into his contender thing, so it's got to be like something about a conservative mixed with something. Cuck? Am I close?
Oh, I love you, Scott Johnson. Don't ever change.
All right.
The final question.
What is it?
This final question is from this Mark T person. It's also a WoW trivia question. In what zone can you find both the horn? Sorry. They look kind of the same, those two words. In what zone can you find both the horn of Malfurion and Bloodhoof's staff?
What zone?
Yeah.
Well, it's in Azeroth.
Quickfire question.
It's not outline. Oh, it's quickfire, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm gonna say Thunderbluff.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. The answer we were looking for was erogenous zone. Thank you for playing.
It's true.
Well, that's it for quickfire questions.
You tried your best.
That went just like we usually did it. Real quick before we finish up, again, we're gonna toss some cool swag out. Look, they're loaded up and ready to go. Their arms are getting tired, so we're going to do that real quick. But before we do, we'll end this thing. I want to thank our guests. We'll start with our very special guest, Chris Metzen. Thank you for being here. Russell Brower, everybody. Russell Brower. Two nicer guys you'll never meet. And obviously, I'm beyond stoked that we got a chance to do this thing that we normally can't do. We're not normally allowed to do this, but having Randy Deluxe here has been a real treat for us. So, Randy, thank you so much. And then my current co-host, who we're always teasing each other, that's kind of our job, but I mean this when I say it, so you're gonna think I'm still being sarcastic, but I think the world of Terpstner and Patrick, and I never thought in all my days I would have these kinds of friends who come from such faraway places and mean this much to the show and to me personally. So huge thanks to them for all they do for the show.
I don't think anyone thought you were being sarcastic.
Exactly.
Why would you say
don't
that?
Don't open with, you know, I'm not being sarcastic.
Well, you never know.
Thinks.
Scarves and all that. And then, of course, Dills, who's not here. We miss you, Dills. If you're home, miss big claps for you, buddy. I want to thank you guys for all coming to this and being here for this. Those live, those watching the stream at home, don't forget, find us at FilmSac, or that's the wrong one, sorry, theinstance.net. Theinstance.net is the website. All the links to stuff you need are there. For those wondering at home, if you can get this whole thing on the feed, you will once this is all over. Thank you again for being here.
Big thank you for Scott as well for however many years of The Instance and infinite more to
come. 9 years.
Indeed.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. The show's not the same without you guys, so thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time. Woo!
Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.